Good morning. This is The Burner. I am James Butler, and it's a new week here at Novara Towers. And there's a fresh thermos of coffee sitting in front of me. It is, nonetheless, the quiet and doleful hour of 6:04 a.m. on Monday, the 18th of November. Here's what matters today. The Labour Party's Clause 5 meeting took place on Saturday and has signed off the manifesto, which is to be launched this Thursday. Of course, the exact contents of the manifesto will be top secret until the launch, though we can expect the occasional flash of ankle under the curtain before then. Rumours abound as to its contents, though it's hard to know how much credence to give them prior to the big reveal. The one most concerning to some activists has been around freedom of movement, whether it's retained in the manifesto or the commitment passed at conference has been weakened. It's hard to tell from the rumours at the moment what the exact shape of the migration policy in the document will be. And Corbyn's response to the question of free movement on Mar was, quote, there will be a great deal. Answers as to other questions around the party's policy on detention centres, on family reunion and recourse to public funds remain unclear. But it does sound like the Green New Deal will be central to the manifesto, with every policy tilted in some ways towards it or seen through a climate emergency lens. There have also been suggestions that the manifesto is in some ways stripped down, i.e. not lost in the thickets with a policy for everything under the sun, but all hewing to a clear, bright, central vision. And we'll come back to vision in a bit. Because there is polling out there this weekend suggesting a public appetite for change. And this is polling by YouGov, commissioned by the IPPR, and it finds that there is clear support for fundamental reform of the British economy on a paradigm-shifting scale, like that of 1945 or 1979. And those numbers are really interesting. 60% in favour of making moderate or radical changes to the way Britain's economy is run, and that splits half and half between the two, moderate and radical. 64% support more government investment in tackling climate change, with just 9% opposed. 57% support greater regulation of banks. 59% believe the economy is run in the interests of the wealthiest. One wonders about the other 41%. How should we interpret this? Now, it certainly suggests to me that the appetite for change is out there. It seems to me, at least, the key is answering that desire in a tangible way, because alongside a sense that things are wrong, that things need to change, there is also a sense of fear. Can you trust change to be made in the right way? What if change happens in a way that takes what little you have? There are certainly signs that the Conservative campaign in the coming weeks is going to be based around that fear that you cannot dare hope for change, that it is too risky and too dangerous. But it seems to me, whoever can find a way to release that pressure for change, whoever can entice it out into the open, into their campaign, could do very well in this election. It has been a quiet weekend for the Tory campaign. At the end of last week, Johnson visited Bolton, where there had been a catastrophic fire in a block of student accommodation. And questions were immediately asked about the cladding on the student block, as the fire seems to have spread very quickly in the upper part of the building. Johnson was heckled and shouted at by disgusted family and parents, but it hasn't been a huge story. But it should highlight how little has been done on cladding in the wake of Grenfell, especially in the private sector, where there are still a huge number of blocks to be dealt with. I think it's important to lay the blame squarely at the feet of the government here, who are the ultimate arbiters of fire regulation in this country and have continually failed, frankly, to do much about it. There was also an interview last night on ITV with Jennifer R. Khoury, the woman close to Boris Johnson during his tenure as mayor, whom he visited for IT lessons and who received $100,000 in public money. She remained ambiguous over whether they had had an affair, but had this to say to him directly.
You know that I've been nothing but loyal, faithful, supportive, and a true confidant of yours. I've kept your secrets, and I've been your friend. And I don't understand why you've blocked me and ignored me as if I was some fleeting one-night stand or some girl that you picked up at a bar, because I wasn't, and you know that. And I'm terribly heartbroken by the way that you have cast me aside, like I am some gremlin.
Of course, this is complicated ground. Now, personally, I don't think many people are that interested in what Bozza does with little Bozza. But people are perhaps more interested in a pattern of using and discarding people around him, especially women. Rather more important, though, is that question of the £100,000 and exactly the legitimacy of the grant and his involvement in it. As for Johnson himself, he has been squirreled away this weekend preparing for Tuesday's head-to-head debate with Jeremy Corbyn. Who's been playing the Labour leader? None other than Michael Gove. There is an impression I wouldn't survive without bringing up my breakfast. Both major parties have made significant spending pledges this election, which makes it perhaps most startling that at the end of last week, the Lib Dems pledged themselves to be the Things Can Never Get Better party. Ed Davey insisted that the country should run a permanent budgetary surplus, i.e. they're basically promising permanent austerity. Now, at a time when even Germany is looking at its similar policy as rather a millstone around its neck, this is simply baffling. They will, of course, bill it as sensible, but what it actually shows is that on a policy level, they've moved very, very little from the coalition days. In fact, they mostly resemble some kind of messianic UFO cult waiting for George Osborne to come in the flying saucer and beam them back to those sweet summer days where they closed youth centres and slashed council budgets together.
We could have done none of it without a coalition.
George Osborne there on the virtues of coalition. I said I'd talk a little bit about the vision thing. As the week goes on, I will bring some stories about how people are campaigning around the country. My thanks to those who've already sent some in. But I was thinking over the weekend about vision and about the reception of Labour's British broadband policy and about the week ahead. And it struck me, and I wrote a little bit about this in my LRB column at the end of last week, that there is a division in British politics which is starker than it has ever been between people who think the age of great works has passed away and those who think quite otherwise. And some think it passed away with the age of empire builders, the Victorian titans who transformed industry, who laid iron railways across the country, who harnessed the pulse of the electron and tunnelled into the earth that people should no longer live in cesspit squalor. Or others think that the last great transformation was in the wake of the horror of World War II, where the post-war government demanded that no longer should people be beggared that they might have their illness tended, that they might be housed in dignity or live without fear. And for both those sides, the nature of the achievements differ, but they unite in believing that such great days are behind us, that such ambition was made for other days. What if they were wrong? What if there remained before us a greater task, still one left uncompleted, the first draft cancelled and undone, its achievements abandoned and its victories vandalised by government after government unequal to its ambition, but whose dimensions now heave into view? That the challenges of the present and the challenges of the future are many, but the possibilities are too. But that we can at last understand them and scale them together, that we can see our way toward the horizon. And that's the thought with which I've been waiting for those manifestos. Anyway, turning our thoughts to today, Jeremy Corbyn talks to the CBI, the Confederation of British Industry, just after 11 o'clock this morning. Their response will be interesting. The CBI attacked Labour's plans for public ownership with a hugely inflated price tag earlier this year. I wonder if they'll have taken any notice of the recent Greenwich University report, which indicates a much lower initial cost and that those nationalised industries will pay for themselves within 7 years. Also ahead of us today, both Boris Johnson and Jo Swinson are pitching at the CBI, with Johnson due to promise some tax breaks for smaller businesses as he tries to quell the anxiety of many of those voters over the economic dislocation of a hard Brexit. Priti Patel has gone hard on migration, but the head of the CBI also flagged her concerns about the harsher regime promised by Patel and Johnson. The TUC publishes figures today that say that nearly 3 million children are living in poverty, 800,000 more than at the beginning of the decade, and nearly 500,000 children have been pushed into poverty by cuts to benefits and the imposition of austerity over that time. With the eye splashing on polling that suggests that the climate is more important to voters than Brexit, The Guardian quotes David King, the government's former special representative on climate change, saying he'd give the government 4 out of 10 for dealing with the climate crisis. The government has simply not been there, he says. The issue of the day, Labour will be pushing its policy announced over the weekend of abolishing the charges on the first tier of dental care, making dental checkups again free at the point of use, and bringing dentistry back under the wing of a truly universal NHS. That policy, of course, is aimed at keeping the conversation on the NHS a place the Conservative campaign doesn't really want to be, and extending that conversation to the ways in which actually parts of the NHS have been increasingly out of people's reach. So dental care is one of those offers designed to speak directly to people's lives, tangible and real. But it looks like the real news today will be that CBI meeting where each leader in turn will vie for the business vote. Expect, alas, more coverage of that than those poverty figures. Andrea Leadsom leads the government PR over the airwaves this morning, always, frankly, a risk. And Labour's Barry Gardiner is trundling around the studios as well. You can hear me talk with Anne Pettifor about the Green New Deal from an interview conducted on Friday for Novara FM. That's on the website. Dr. Bastani's unsparing lens goes in on the polling in his election newsletter, It'll Go Higher. You can look at our social media for the sign up for that, or it's in the description for this broadcast. Now, as we go on producing this briefing, and as I've said today, please, please, please get in touch with me. Tell me about all the issues, the campaigns and mobilisations going on in your part of the UK. Stories, concerns, experiences, anything else. Just send them to me at james@navarramedia.com or tweet them on the hashtag TheBurner. That is it. That is The Burner. I will see you tomorrow. This broadcast is brought to you by Navarra Media. Go to support.navarramedia.com.